Hello everyone and welcome to a Car Sim and Race Driver Show special. I've called it my Ayrton Senna story because of course last week on the May the 1st it was 26 years since we lost Ayrton Senna, and a lot of fans around the world, you know, have their own personal stories about what they thought of Senna, how they followed him, perhaps a unique encounter if they had met him on occasion, and there's been lots of wonderful books done and things like that. But for lots of people, May the 1st, 1994 was a day that we'll never, ever forget. And I was a huge Senna fan at that time. It started with me kind of following Formula One from about 1990, 1991, pretty much onwards, because I was a big Mansell fan in those days. And Nigel was driving for Williams. And really in 1991, there was this incredible battle between Senna and Mansell. Now, the Williams was not very reliable in the first four races. In fact, Mansell, I think, failed to finish the first four races, really struggled an awful lot, hardly had any points. But eventually, the Williams started to get better, and they took the fight to Honda. And, of course, Senna did some incredible races and performances. And we had some classic Grand Prix that year. And, of course, Mansell won in France, Britain, and in Germany, but then Senna fought back in Hungary and just managed overall to get there. And of course, and in Japan, 1991, Mansell went off and Senna got his third title. And so from that point onwards, of course, 1992, Mansell was very dominant, had that incredible race at Monaco where Senna won by fractions of a second and kept Mansell behind him all that way. So it was really an incredible, incredible season. But we all, as a Mansell fan, I wanted Nigel to finally do it. And I think at the age of, was it nearly 39 or 40, Mansell took it in Hungary, and that was that. There were some very similar interesting things on the podium that Senna said to Mansell on the podium. He says, "Now you know, well, I'm such a bastard." And that's because the feeling feels so good. And when Mansell's holding up the trophy, knowing he had won the World Championship, Senna gave him the truth on that day. But from that point on, because Mansell didn't race in 93, went over to IndyCar, I was a big Senna fan because I really didn't like Prost very much. I thought the way they had done all these contract negotiations, it really wasn't very, very fair and so on. So I thought, you know, I was naturally kind of more interested in what Senna was going to do. And I was beginning to get to know him better as a fan. And I used to buy the videos, and I've still got some of the books about Grand Prix driving and all of these things. So I was learning about what he was like, and he was incredible in his interviews. Anyone who's listened to his interviews, just you were mesmerized. You just wanted to find out more and more and more, and you'd watch them over and over again. They were really that good. But in 1993, I had my first opportunity, in fact, an only really opportunity, to go and see a Grand Prix, and this was at Donington. And it was in April time, the weather was absolutely horrendous, and I just turned 18, and for my birthday, I went with my good friend Jonathan and his father down to Donington Park, and we watched the race. And the thing was, we weren't sure what to expect. Nobody knew, you know, we hadn't any idea what the Grand Prix was really going to be like. We'd watched qualifying the day before on Sky, and then we drove down that afternoon, and there we were early in the morning for the race. And as soon as we saw the cars going round, we thought this is going to be some occasion, the helicopters flying with all the flags and the emotion building. And where we were at the old chicane, at the kind of loop, the Donington loop at the back of the circuit, there were a huge crowd of Brazilian fans right behind us. And they all had their Brazilian flags and everything. Lovely, lovely group, really, really friendly and good fun to be part of and to be near them. And then finally, the race came about, and just on the warm-up lap the noise was absolutely deafening and the crowds were cheering and it was just amazing. And then when the race started, you could hear the revs suddenly drop as the lights went out and off they went round, and we weren't really that sure what was happening because it was so loud until, you know, we could see where the cars roughly were as they came round to where we were. And of course, as Senna and Prost and Hill got to ours part of the track, Senna was already in second place. Now, we knew he'd started, I think, fourth or fifth, and there'd been an issue on the first lap, but we didn't realise just how well he'd done. So he goes down the Donington loop, and when he comes back up the hill, he's in the lead, and he'd overtaken Prost, and that was him off into the distance to win an incredible Grand Prix. And I think because we had witnessed that, and I think even at that time, we knew we had witness something really quite incredible and spectacular. And of course, in Murray Walker's stories and programs that he's done, he said that was the lap that he'll take to the grave as the most incredible lap, starting lap of any Grand Prix he's ever commentated on. And it was a special time. It was really amazing. But there was also a time where I saw Ayrton Senna, although at the time I didn't recognise him, but a couple of years before, he had come to my hometown in Duns at the gym, because there was the Jim Clark Room. Now, right opposite the Jim Clark Room is the library. And when I was with my father and we were dropping off a book, and this car had turned up, and this chap got out who had the cap in there and the dark glasses. And it was a pretty miserable, dull day in Duns. I think it was February time. I can't remember the exact date that he came. You need to check in the books when it was. And I thought, I wonder who that is, because to wear dark glasses and a cap on a day like today, when it's that dull, seems like that someone certainly wasn't somebody from the Borders. But I never thought any more of it. And we got into the car and we drove back home. And of course, in the Berkshire News a few days later, who has turned up to the Jim Clark Room but Ayrton Senna? And I'm like, my goodness me, if I had known that, I would have gone across there and asked for an autograph. But so, you know, he'd come everywhere. And of course, he did a very famous talk at the school at Musselburgh, was it? I think it was, I'm trying to remember the name of the school at Musselburgh. And it was all about winning and attitudes about life. And also he was a devout Christian. And for me as a Christian as well, it made it really very interesting as to how he looked at life and how he approached life. And then on to these incredible races in 1993, where really his car was nowhere near as good as the competition. And yet he was winning races. He won the last two in Japan and Australia. And of course, shared the podium with Prost, that famous picture of them on the podium together at the end of 1993. And in 1994, you know, there were some huge accidents. Alesi was injured. Quite a few people had big accidents. And it has been in testing and even starting the first couple of races. And it was very strange because we knew that Schumacher, you know, he'd evolved over 1993 and had some great battles with Senna that year as well. But the Benetton looked incredibly good and it was very reliable and Schumacher was performing 100%. And we felt Senna was really struggling. He was he was getting pole positions, amazing, amazing performances in qualifying to get that Williams on pole position. But then he would crash off in the race, or he was crashed into in Japan or in Aida. And then of course we got to Imola. And at the time I'd just moved up to Edinburgh. And my flat didn't actually have a television, I only had a radio, so I would listen to it on Radio 5 Live. And I had to go out in that afternoon, I had a meeting on that I was going to, so I knew I'd only be able to get pretty much the first maybe 10-15 minutes of the race. And of course, the race started, there was the accident on the actual grid at the very start, and then they cleared that up, and then the race got going again, and in a lap 7, about 10 minutes past 1 or thereabouts, Senna went off at Tamburello Corner, and I just remember hearing the I think it was Simon Taylor and the commentators saying there's been a huge accident with one of the Williams and it's Ayrton Senna. And at that point I had to go out because I didn't really know what happened. You know, I had other things on and I never really thought anything about it until I got to my friend's house who I was meeting, and I said, oh, do you happen to know what's happened in the Grand Prix? And they said, oh, there's been a really serious accident with Ayrton Senna and he's been airlifted to hospital. And I thought, oh, goodness me, that was something else. Because I didn't have no idea visually of what it looked like. You know, so you don't, it's hard sometimes on the radio to realise what had happened. And I was busy all that day. So although it was on my mind, I hadn't really kind of thought much about it because I had other things that I was doing. And I got back and it was about 9 o'clock at night. And I put the radio on. And the first person that I hear is Jackie Stewart. And they're talking about racing. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know Radio 5 Live was doing a special. And then I found out that it was listened further, and he was saying about the terrible loss of drivers when these things happen. And all of a sudden, my heart just dropped when I suddenly realised what they were talking about. And then the headlines came on. And of course, they reminded me that Ayrton Senna had died earlier that evening, around about 6 o'clock or 6:30. He had been declared that he had passed. And it was just, the world crashed in. And I think there's probably quite a few other people out there in the same kind of way of mind, that You know, for me, I hadn't seen any of it, and I was desperate to see what had happened. I remember phoning my father and saying, you know, look, Ayrton Senna's been killed in a crash. And he wasn't too kind of, I mean, it's, you know, he was a doctor, and he had seen death and all of these things many a time. So it hadn't really, you know, he was old as well, it wasn't going to affect him. But for, you know, a 19-year-old boy like myself at the time, it was a massive thing. And I remember the next day I went to the newsagent and I bought The Scotsman, and it had the headline on it, Formula One safety fears as champion Senna dies. And it was just something else. And I must have been probably really in mourning for the next couple of months. I mean, it was, I think because Formula One was such a big part of my life, you know, it was like, it's like someone who follows football, you know, all the time. It's a massive, massive thing. And when one of your heroes dies like that in such a tragic way, it really, I mean, I was really down emotionally for a long, long time. And it took me ages to kind of get back on my feet. I was really, really quite upset and depressed, to be fair. It was quite a time. But eventually, you know, you get home and you do things and things return to some form of normality. But I think it's, I always think it's amazing that it's 26 years ago that happened. And for the Formula One paddock and all the kind of circus that goes around the world every year, it took them so long to recover. And I think everyone knew that they had lost a very, very special person that, you know, had an incredible life ahead of him, not just in racing, but, you know, if it had been commentating or doing special interviews. I mean, the Brazilians thought he could eventually become president of Brazil. It was that, you know, he was that kind of person. And we always wondered, you know, how many more titles would he have gotten and what would it have been like? And the whole atmosphere and the dynamic of Formula One changed, because really it turned from Senna onto Schumacher, as he won in 1994 and 95, and then Hill eventually winning in 96. So it was a completely different dynamic on Formula One. That May the 1st was a day that changed the dynamic of Formula One forever. And for all those who were close to him, his family and his friends and all of his fans around the world, I don't think, you know, we were all thinking it will never be the same again, and we all miss him. And whenever we see an interview with them, quite often it brings a tear to your eye and you think you miss him. You know, it's like it was that big a character, that it was a real shaking when that happened. But I hope this has been an interesting little kind of short story as to, you know, what my ideas about Senna was and so on, and my personal experience with watching him at the Grand Prix at Donington way back in 1993. And just my, you know, as a fan, what I thought of him. I mean, undoubtedly, to me, he's one of the best, if not the best, out there. I think the way he fought in his races and what he could do in qualifying and those incredible onboard videos that everyone's seen are astonishing. And, you know, whenever you're in a go-kart, whenever you wanted to drive, and, you know, I thought I could be a racing driver when I was young, which was just a daydream. But, you know, when you watch stuff like that, it fired you up and you thought, wow, that was the way to drive, and the noise of the Honda V12 and things like that. You know, it just put it together in such a way, that's who you wanted to be. And I guess in summing this whole story up, you wanted to be Ayrton Senna, you know, as a child, as a teenager. That was the person you wanted to be like more than anyone else, because he could drive and he had that incredible character that was almost supernatural at that time of your life. You know, it was that powerful, and he was quite a person. And I hope, that he will. I'm sure he will be remembered for many, many years to come, because they have institutions and charities and all sorts that have been set up. But for young drivers listening to this, you need to watch some of his videos and his interviews, because there you'll get insight in how to be a proper racing driver. So, from the Car Sim and Race Driver Show, it's time to drive fast and try not to crash. Bye just now, and I'll speak to you later. Bye-bye.